Alright everyone, it's the Grim Lord here, and this is Grimm's Adult, Grimm's Uncanny Valley, and we are back with Between Two Worlds, and we're streaming on Joystick, so check us out there. Alright, so let's go ahead and get started. Following the directions provided by the guy at the tavern, you soon find yourself in the stream that he mentioned, cutting through the landscape. Carefully walking along, you come to the mouth of a cave, dark and foreboding. A light fog seems to be coming from inside. I will summon an orb of light. Let it show the way. Your light flashes into existence inside the cave, giving you about 15 feet of increased visibility. You notice nothing new, but still cannot see very far into the cave, mostly due to the fog. So, do we just assume this is the right way? Wouldn't want to be trapped in there. I see no reason to think otherwise. It's the only lead we have right now. Alright, let's go then. Kes, want to take point, please? As you move inside, the comforting sounds of the forest fade away, and the silent echoes of the cave emerge. The whole thing is very claustrophobic, as the sound of your footsteps and dripping water echo off the walls. About 100 feet into the cave, you can just start to make out the features of a large, flat surface that you're approaching. Okay, hold up. Tosca, Tharine, do either of you hear anything? They roll their dice, and Oscar shakes his head at both of them. Zoran, do you sense anything we should be concerned about? He joins in the rolls, also getting a no from Oscar. Interesting, so this is supposed to be how they move around, but nothing is here to guard it. Maybe they don't need guards. What do you mean? That dude did say there was some kind of magical property to it. If that's true, there wouldn't be much need to guard it. I guess so. Let's get closer then. You move forward and step into a large cavern illuminated only by the orb of light. It is unremarkable, other than the large ornate wall at the far end of it. Carved into the structure are a series of concentric circles, but you don't see any way through. Okay, Zoram, light up some balls with me and everyone spread out. That's not the kind of balls he was talking about, folks. Try to find any sort of mechanism or maybe writing. There has to be something here. The two men provide illumination to the cavern as the group splits up, combing every inch of the cavern. Okay, you don't need to say that twice. It takes several minutes before Zoran calls out that he has found something. Everyone gathers around him as he stares at a section of wall with a small depression. I don't see anything. What are we looking at? There is magic here. Something about this spot right here. It's also the only imperfection on the entire wall. Must mean something, right? The depression in the wall is somewhat shallow, and it almost looks like it's missing a chunk of stone. Wait, it can't be! Tharine reaches into a hidden pocket, pulling out the stone that she was given by Fiona. She looks at it for a moment before pressing it to the wall. Nothing happens, at first. After a couple seconds, the cave begins to rumble, small bits of stone and dust falling from the ceiling. The others step back while Tharine remains at the wall. Brilliant light suddenly bursts forth from the concentric circles on the wall, illuminating the cavern with almost neon color. A section of the wall moves forward, then begins to roll to the right, revealing another dark cavern behind it. The doorway settling into an open position, Tosca moves to the front, peeking into the darkness. She gasps and quickly jumps back, drawing her daggers. One of those tree things is in there. Kesray waves to the Grim Lord, silently indicating a request for light. A second later, the new area lights up. She creeps forward, ready for a fight that doesn't come. I think it's dead. The others move forward, looking past her. The creature has collapsed against the wall, unmoving. There is burn scarring on portions of the body. Zoram goes to the body and takes a moment to check it. Yeah, it's dead. Not long ago, though. Strange, it's cold, but not like death cold. Like, almost ice cold. Does it have anything we can take? Hey, Kes, just a shot in the dark here, but I'm pretty sure it doesn't have any pockets to carry gold in. Doesn't hurt to look. Jeez. Never know what crevices it might have it might have shoved stuff into. Oh, we're going there, are we? Well, if you want to check for a prison pocket, go for it. Gross. I'm good. Well, if it's dead and doesn't have anything to take, any reason to stick around? There is a quick round of glances and shrugs. The group preps to move forward again, with Tuska taking point to watch for traps. You find yourself in the back with Taryn. So, think we're ready for this? Seems like we're getting close. You decide to be confident in your response as you continue walking through the tunnel. I believe so. Things have gone well so far, and it's nice knowing that we can burn these things easily enough. She doesn't seem to share your confidence, however. Yeah, that's good for you, but not so much for me. I can't conjure up a firestorm like you can. True, but damage is damage, and you have talent with the blade, too. Oh, so I'm supposed to chop at them like I'm making firewood? Why not? We'll have a bonfire with their remains once we're done. She laughs a little at that, some of her anxiety draining away. Sure, and I'll hunt up a wild boar, have a spit roast. I'm not sure I'd be down for a spit roast, not really into sharing my toys. Oh my god, that's not what I meant! Get your mind out of the gutter! Never. I live in the gutter and I'm not ashamed to admit it. She smiles openly now, your bad jokes putting her at ease. She starts to say something more, but is interrupted by Tuska. Hey, we're out! I see something out there, let's go! You all hurry ahead, eager to leave the dark, dank tunnels and move forward. As you emerge from the tunnel, you find yourself in a bright, open area. It is a significant change from the forest you've been traveling through. It'd be peaceful if not for the imposing castle in the distance, surrounded by fog. You feel a shiver in your spine, the evil within plainly felt in the air. Well, that's impressive and ominous. Yeah, talk about a remote gateway. I'd look around for which direction they went, but I think it's pretty obvious. So, do we just walk up and knock? I'm sure whoever is in there must have seen us coming out of the tunnel. We're not exactly hidden out here. Why not? We know what we're here for. No reason to delay, right? Be careful, though. I have never seen this area before, so I don't know what to expect. At least I can add it to my maps when I get home. Nothing at all that you can offer us here? Oh, I can offer you many things here, just not in terms of information. You hear Emily groan. All right then, let's move. We've got this. The party moves out, marching their way through the open area towards the castle. The walk is fairly quick, with no conversation passing between them. The oppressive evil aura grows thicker as they approach. Nearing the castle, the previously bright daylight grows noticeably darker, even though there are few clouds in the sky. It is not long before you find yourself standing before the massive doors of the structure. Before you're able to speak, Kesray steps forward, pushing on the door. It slowly swings open. Kes, you never learn, do you? That could have been trapped. Meh, it wasn't, and now it's open. Let's go. She steps inside, a little more cautious now with a reminder of potential traps. The interior is sparsely furnished, the castle looking abandoned. The only sign of life is the regularly spaced torches on the walls. As is in most dungeons, guys. The corridor extends in either direction before turning away. There doesn't seem to be any indication of which way to go. Well, I kind of thought there would be at least some welcoming party. This place is about as empty as it gets. So what do we do then? Which way do we go? We could save time. Some go one way, some go another. Did you seriously just suggest splitting the party? Even I know better than that. Well, we can't just stand here doing nothing. We have to move forward. The women turn and look to you, expecting you to make the choice. Okay, considering I have literally no more info than you do, I'm going to just say we go to the left because left is right. Ignoring the faulty logic, the group sets out, slowly moving down the hallway and through the castle. You encounter no resistance as you go, which adds to the general uneasiness that you feel. After the fifth turn, and second staircase, Tosca calls the party to a stop. She puts her finger to her mouth, telling them to be silent. The air is still as everyone listens intently. A moment later, she whispers to the others. I can hear something ahead. Sounds muffled, though. Most likely up those stairs. Can you make anything out? People? Creatures? It sounds like maybe a woman sobbing? Nothing else, though. It could be a trap. We go in to save some damsel in distress and get ambushed by an army. Or it could simply be someone who needs our help, in which case we should try to help. You just want to be the hero. You just want to be a hero to some girl who'll give you a good time. And your point? Is that a crime? She groans and turns away, leaving it up to the others to decide. I say we go take a look. We haven't found anything else so far. It can't hurt, right? Oh, like Kesray said, it could very well hurt. But we should go. I wouldn't feel good about leaving someone who needs help. Okay, we go then. Lead the way, Tosca. Tosca leads the group to the hallways again, slowly following the sound to their source. It's not long before you find yourselves looking into what appears to be a dungeon. The sobbing sounds now quite evident to everyone. The room is not well lit, and the source of the sound cannot be seen around a corner. Wait here. I'll sneak in and take a look. She moves into the room, leaving you behind to wait. It seems to take way longer than it actually does before returning. It seems to be clear. There is a single woman inside. She looks physically okay, but, well, come on. We need to help her. You move inside, quickly locating the young woman. She's suspended from the ceiling by some form of magic, fully nude. She does not seem to notice any of you as you enter. You summon a small light, keeping it dim but still adding to the trace of illumination of the room. Stepping forward, you speak softly to her to get her attention without scaring her. Hey, miss, please look up. Can you hear me? She slowly looks over, her eyes taking a second to focus on you. She looks terrified, but likely too exhausted to cry out. It's okay, we're not here to hurt you. We want to help. Is that okay? Will you let us help you? It takes her a moment to process what you're saying before slowly nodding to you. Okay, good. I'm gonna get closer now. Get a look at this magic. Try to stay still. You move forward, examining the wisps that are holding her. The magic is simple and easily worked. I should be able to get you down. I promise it won't hurt, okay? She looks down at you scared, but nods her acceptance. Reaching out, you place your hands into the bindings, whispering an incantation to yourself. Your hands burst into light and the spell is broken. As it breaks, she begins to fall. You quickly move to catch her. She sighs audibly, getting much desired relief. Obviously weak, she leans into you for support. The girl rests her head on your lap, whispering her thanks, showing no sign of embarrassment at her undressed state. It's okay, you're free now. Zorin, can you come check her out, please? The cleric moves up next to you, taking time to inspect the woman both physically and magically. Other than dehydration and exhaustion, she seems to be okay. Can you tell us how you came to be here? What's happened to you? I've been here for a few days now. My village was attacked by some creatures, and they took me with them when they left. Wait, what village? Is it Artley by chance? She looks up at you, confused. You've heard of it? We're such a small village, most don't even bother stopping as they pass through. Yeah, we've heard of it. In fact, we're here to help your village. Vitale sent us to find the idol. Father sent you? Oh, I should have known. Not exactly. We didn't even know anyone had been taken. You're his daughter? Oh, yes. Though I can't imagine why he wouldn't have told you. He saw them take me. Taurine steps forward now, addressing the woman. Wait, your father watched them take you away and did not try to stop them? He couldn't. They had him pinned to the ground. Besides, he's not the fighter he once was. A look passes between the group members before you speak to her again. Look, we need to finish what we started here. If we give you some basic supplies, would you be able to make it back to Artley alone? Yes, I think so. They didn't try to hide which way they came to get here, so I can get back. Okay, good. Taryn, Tosca, can you take care of her? Kesre, Joram, let's talk. As the ladies work to outfit the woman, the three of you move into a corner of the dungeon. Joram, what do you think? Was she actually taken by force? I get the feeling that Vitale sold her out, like he did to us. I didn't sense any dishonesty from her at all. As far as she knows, she's telling the truth. I swear to all the gods, if he sold his daughter, I'll kill him myself. The guy seems to be a real winner. I'm sure the villagers would take care of him once we get back and tell them the truth. You turn back and find that Tosca and Taryn are done. The woman is now clothed and with a potion or two, seems to have recovered a bit. You're looking better already. You sure you can make the journey? Yes, thank you. Your friends were generous with supplies, and it won't be the first time I ventured through the forest. You move over with your light orb hovering above you. Also, I told Tosca here the directions to get to the top of this place. It's behind a hidden wall, but they must have thought I wouldn't be alive to tell anyone. We appreciate that. Saves us a little time. I hate to cut this short, but we need to move. Artley needs that idol back, as I'm sure you know. Thank you for that as well. Be safe, and I'll see you back at the village soon. She runs off, leaving the rest of you behind. Well, that was something. Are we ready? I can guide us straight there. No time like the present. Let's go. You all leave the dungeon, falling behind Tosca as she leads you to the top of the castle, and whatever awaits you there. With Tosca leading the way, you quickly move through the castle and now stand before a large closed door. She said that we'll find our target in here. Are we ready? Do we just rush in, or... Sure, but with one difference. You all go in. I'll follow behind in a moment. That way, if the baddie is in here, I might have a chance to be sneaky. I can get behind that. Kesre? Yeah, I know. I'm going first. Alright, let's do this. Following Kesre, you push through the door and are greeted with a large chamber, the center being filled by an altar. Suspended behind the altar, there is a massive creature which seems to be just a giant fleshy mass. Flames are burning in pillars behind it and around the room. Along the sides of the room, you see several of the creatures you've been chasing the entire time. They seem to be idle, simply watching. A disturbing woman walks out to stand near the altar, giving you a nasty grin. And what do we have here? Fresh sacrifices for the Lord? We have no intention of being a sacrifice for that thing or anyone else. We're here for the idol of Zera. It must be returned to Artley.
Oh, is that so? Unfortunately, you've come a long way for nothing. The idol isn't leaving here.
Kesre moves forward a step, pointing her blade at the woman. Then I suppose we'll be taking it by force.
Dear girl, why do you even care? What is the fate of a single village to you?
We gave our word to help, so we will. Your handful of highly flammable things won't be enough to stop us.
Oh, I don't need them to do the work. They're nothing more than mindless minions that carry out basic orders.
The woman approaches the creature next to her and seems to stroke the side of it. The thing immediately opens, revealing a large eye behemoth.
A large eye beneath, which stares directly at all of you. The Lord will handle this himself. I must go prepare the next sacrifice. She has been waiting long enough.
If you're talking about the woman you took from the village, you're going to be disappointed. We set her free. The woman becomes visibly enraged, taking a step towards you.
You did what? How dare you?
She raises her hands, pointing them at Taryn and yelling some words in an unknown language. A moment later, a web of some kind appears, flying forward towards the archer. Before it can hit her, Joram pushes her out of the path, getting hit himself. The web continues moving before impacting the wall and trapping him. Taryn recovers quickly, setting an arrow in her bow and drawing the string back. The arrow flies, but misses the mark, moving silently through the flames behind the woman.
Grimlord, help Joram! I'll provide cover! She moves quickly, placing herself between the enemy and the two men. She brings her sword up in a defensive stance. As she does so, the eye follows her every movement, though it does little else. Hold on, Jaram. I should be able to burn through his webbing. Or burn through this webbing. But stay still. You begin to use the same magic to help Jaram that you used to save the girl before. As the flame magic burns into existence, you notice the creatures nearby move away from you, wanting nothing to do with it. Taryn preps another arrow, letting it go once again towards the woman. Like before, it flies wide. I don't get it! I can't seem to hit her! Poor child, you cannot harm me with your pathetic arrows! She laughs before turning back to Kesray. You, however, you can certainly be harmed by me! She swings forward with an open hand, looking like she intended to slap Kesray. Being so far away, it should easily miss. A second later, however, Kesray is knocked into the air, spinning and tumbling before coming to a stop against a pillar, winded. Having successfully freed Jaram, you turn fully back towards the fight. Lightning storm. Focusing your energy, you slam into the ground, summoning devastating lightning from the surrounding environment. She is still tormenting Kesray and fails to see what's happening. The bolts travel in a directed path before coursing through her body. She yells out in pain, now looking at you, leaving Kesray alone. Jaram quickly scrambles over to Kesray, helping her up and stabilizing her. She shakes off the pain, glaring at the demon woman. Steeling herself in determination, Kesray rushes forward, quickly crossing the ground between them. She yells, taking a mighty swing, which manages to strike. The woman staggers backward, but otherwise seems okay. This bitch is a tank! That should have cost her an arm, at least! I think she's drawing power from that eye on the altar. Taryn, try to hit that instead of her! Taryn nods at him, stringing up another arrow and taking aim. The woman scowls at her, screaming, No! Do not harm the Lord! Taryn grins as she lets loose the arrow, finding its target, embedding deep into the creature. The creature makes no noise, but the woman cries out, as if she had been hit herself. Ah! Still, near the door, you hear Tosca moving behind you, using the attack as a distraction. Ignoring the movement behind, you take a few steps forward, looking at Kesray. With a motion and a few spoken words, her sword morphs and ignites, flames surrounding the blade. Let's find out if she hates fire as much as her minions. Kesray grins at you, then retakes her fighting stance, the fire-covered blade safely away from her own body. You are all so incredibly annoying! You will not defeat us! She jumps on the altar, reaching to the creature once more. There's a flash of light when she touches it, and she begins to laugh. Suddenly, she begins to grow in size. In a matter of seconds, she has gotten significantly larger and now towers over Kesray. Don't worry, Kes. I got you. He focuses, hand on his holy book. Kesray seems to almost glow for a moment before the effect fades. She knows from experience that she's been shielded in some way. She immediately turns back towards the now quite large demon. All you've done is given me a bigger target. Begone, Thought! She swings, aiming for the woman's leg. The blade strikes, the stench of burning flesh filling the room as the wound instantly cauterizes. The bitch is definitely weaker. Taryn, hit the eye again! Alright, already on it, with a little bonus this time. You see her pouring some kind of liquid on top of her arrows, her next arrows, rather, before knocking it in the bow. She takes careful aim, since the demon is partially blocking her target. The arrow flies free and hits cleanly. The creature twists and turns in its shackles, obviously experiencing pain. The demon woman also begins to writhe, grabbing at her own chest. No, you can't do this! I won't let you! You cannot stop us. We are inevitable. The woman spins, seeing Tosca sneaking up on her. Tuska pulls a blade and stabs at her, piercing into the same leg that Kesray hit before. Screaming in pain, the woman swipes at Tuska, sending her flying across the room and into a wall. She falls to the floor, dazed. The creature on the altar suddenly begins twitching, straining against its bonds. After a moment, it falls still, the poison from the arrow killing it. Kes, now! Finish her! Kesray doesn't hesitate, jumping forward and shoving the blade deep into the woman's body. She lets out a blood-curdling scream, before pushing Kesray away. She drops to both knees, looking up at you before falling over and partially off the altar. The group looks around, prepared to continue the fight against the other creatures. None of them move, lacking any command to do so. Joram quickly rushes to Tuska, checking her injuries. She'll be okay. I just need to take care of her. Convinced that the watching creatures are not going to attack, you move up to the altar, finding the idol behind it. All this for some carved stone. Sure hope it was worth it. That was a pain in the ass. No, really, my ass still hurts. And no, you can't rub it for me. Everyone otherwise okay? You receive a general round of nods, though Taryn is still eyeing the remaining creatures cautiously. Okay, take a moment to gather yourselves and we'll head out. We have no time to spare. This has got to get back to Artley. And my sword has an appointment with Vitale, which reminds me, you want to put this thing out for me? After a short time of rest and looting, you leave the castle, retracing your steps back through the cave and forest, heading for the village. Retracing your journey back through the forest, it takes you 2 days before you begin to approach the village. Having set Vitale's daughter ahead, you are not entirely sure what to expect, knowing now that Vitale may have been bad himself. How did she survive in the woods, in the dark, being completely naked? As you pass by Roskin's place, she stops and speaks. Hey guys! This is where we part ways. I've got a feeling that I don't want to participate in what's about to happen. We understand. Thank you for coming with us, Raskin. Your help and information was good to have. Kesray scoffs at this but says nothing. No problem. And hey, when you're done in the village, you should come back and see me. Just you. She looks over at Tuska and grins. Well, maybe you too. Okay, time to go. Goodbye, Roskin. Everyone says their goodbyes to their small companion before continuing on the path to the village. Walking into the village, there's nothing but silence. Not a single villager in sight. Even the animals have seemingly gone missing. What the hell is going on? Where is everyone? I know it's a small place, but this is ridiculous. Are we too late? Have they all left? No, they were pretty clear. It's not like there was a plague. Something else is wrong here. Well, I'd say we should check the tavern. When all else fails, you can usually find people drinking, right? It's a good idea as any, I suppose. Let's go. Speaking of drinking, let me get a drink real quick. Of water. Water. Ah, okay. Stepping into the building, you find the one person you most wanted to find. Vitale is in the same place as before. However, her daughter is cowering in the corner to the right. When you enter, she looks up at you, hope in her eyes. Grimlord, please, help! Shut your mouth! You speak only when I allow you to do so. She immediately tries to push herself deeper into the corner, fearful of her father. Kesray pushes past you, aiming her sword at the man, her anger clearly coming through. Hey, asshole, talk to me like that. I dare you. He raises his hand, attempting to push the sword aside as if it didn't matter. She refuses to let it budge. Realizing that his attempt to show strength has utterly failed, he decides to rise instead, visibly angry now. You and your friends have ruined everything. You'll pay for this. I'm sorry, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems that I'm holding a sword to your neck right now. Do you really think you're in a position to make threats?
Girl, do you really think I wouldn't plan for this? My deal with that demon bitch included protection. Her minions will be here shortly to deal with you. Yeah, I don't think that's happening. Even together, you would not be strong enough to overpower them. I don't know how you managed to get my daughter back, but she'll be sent away again once this is done. So you admit to giving the girl to the creatures. You willingly gave away your daughter. Of course, I've hated the girl since her mother died. She means nothing to me. Well, I hate to break it to you, but your deal is off. The demon is dead. Impossible. You couldn't have. She's way too strong. Was. She was too strong. Kesra ran her sword through her. Really wasn't that hard. Tosca rotates her shoulder a bit, grimacing at the memory. Speak for yourself. I still hurt a bit. And you have the idol? Taryn holds up the small statue, showing it to Vitale. He looks at it, then at all of you, before his demeanor suddenly changes. You saved the village! Amazing! This is great news! Kesra presses the tip of her sword against Vitale's neck, making it clear that his bullshit wasn't going to fly. Yeah, we saved the village, but you won't benefit from it. Kesra looks over at you, and you know the question before she even asks it. So, can I kill him now? Before you can respond, Vitale takes advantage of Kesra looking away and jumps at his daughter, drawing a small blade from his robes. Grabbing her, he presses the blade against her neck, a sneer on his face. The man is a true coward. Let me go, or this little shit dies! No one moves as the change in circumstance is absorbed. You see a look pass between Kesra and Tosca, and a nearly imperceptible nod. I won't hesitate to kill her. She obviously has no value to me. Kesra moves around the table, drawing Vitali's attention to her, sword still raised. Whoa, I don't know how all that happened, but we're going back. Must have hit something. Alright. It doesn't need to be this way, Vitale. We can work out a deal, right? She keeps her blade moving, ensuring that he continues looking at her. Tosca moves silently to your right, out of his view, creeping closer. There is only one deal. I walk out of here alive. Once I am safely away from the village, I'll consider letting her go. You'll consider it? So you won't guarantee your safety, even if we let you leave? Would you believe me if I did? Well, I suppose not. So I guess we're at an impasse then. One way or another, I'm leaving here. He is cut off as a blade moves up into his jaw between his arm and the girl. He gurgles once before collapsing on the floor, dead! The young woman quickly jumps away from the body, shaken up. Well done, Tosca. That was one way to shut him up. Tosca does not look happy about having to do it, but she accepts that something had to be done. Oh, that man was going to die. I'm sorry, folks. He was going to die. Taryn steps forward, taking the girl's hand, speaking softly to her. Are you going to be okay? I think so. I had no idea that he could do something like that. Greed makes people do insane things sometimes. I'm so sorry that you had to go through that. I'm sorry to have to interrupt, but I need to ask. Do you know where the villagers are? She looks over at you, sadness clear on her face. Father told them to stay in their homes and not come out, or the creatures would attack again. They're scared. Okay, Tosca, take the idol to Dagorn. Tell him everything that has happened. I think he might be the best option to help the village now. Got it. I hate to bring it up, but we were promised payment for this whole thing. Oh my god, really, Emily? The girl just watched her bastard of a father die next to her after being sold for sacrifice. Is that appropriate? Hey, money is money! I want to get paid! To be fair, the adventure is technically over, so let me wrap it up. With the return of the idol, the damage done to the village is almost instantly reversed. The crops and animals immediately become healthy and the mood rises. Dagorn accepts temporary leadership of Artley, but it isn't long before he gives up control to another, as it's not his style. For rewards, the villagers agree to uphold the agreement Vitale made with you in terms of payment, and they work together to provide it. In terms of loot from the final battle, you did find a hidden cache of supplies that you were able to loot before leaving. Kesray, you find a new full set of armor with a boost to your armor class. You can equip that in the next adventure. Tari, you find a ring of nature. This will provide you with a bonus to any kinds of tracking, animal interactions, etc. rolls. Tosca, you get to keep the dagger that was found at the temple. You'll need to do future research on it, however. I won't reveal the details. Joram, your chosen deity smiles upon your actions, bestowing you with an additional +2 to all healing effects. Grimlord, you also get an update to your wardrobe. It'll allow you to focus more, giving you one additional spell cast per day. Finally, between the villager reward and coinage found at the castle, you each receive 27 gold. You all level up as well, but you can do that on your own. Awesome, what a great game. Thank you, Oscar. Yeah, this one was fun. I didn't get my ass beat as hard. Speaking of which, hey Oscar, I believe you promised me a late night? I really don't know why I put up with you sometimes. Before you ask, we can't stay for the movie tonight, Grim. Wait, there's a movie too? Yeah, we usually stick around and watch a movie after the game, but I also can't stick around tonight. After I get you home, I need to go get some homework done. Kenny rises, helping to clear the table and getting ready to leave. Oh, that sucks. I'd like to see the movie. You know, Skylar, if it's cool with you, she can stay and watch the movie with us, and I'll take her home on the way to school tomorrow. Yeah, I don't mind. She can sleep on the couch. It's not a big deal. Kaylee looks at Skylar, hopefully, silently asking her to say yes. Sure, saves me time anyway. You guys have fun. Everyone says their goodbyes, and hugs are given all around. Before long, it's just you, Hannah, and Kaylee. You move into the kitchen as the girls get comfortable on the couch and start talking. So, what did you think? I think I like it. Definitely not what I expected. You always hear about it being this huge nerd thing. Hannah laughs a little at that, knowing that she had the same impression before starting it herself. I know what you mean. I think a big part of it is the players, though. Oscar certainly gives us interesting situations. Do you think you might be interested in joining in? If you guys have room and I don't mind helping a newbie along, I think I'd give it a try. Awesome! We play every Thursday pretty much. I'll tell Oscar to plan for a new gamer to join. You return to them with fresh drinks and snacks for the movie. Kaylee looks up at you. Hey, think I can have one of those? You're still a little young, aren't you? Oh, come on. Emily is only 19. Skylar and Hannah are 20. None of them are old enough either. Hannah looks at you and grins. She has a point. Besides, she's staying here tonight, so it's not like your parents will know. One beer won't hurt her. Besides, she's legally an adult, and she should be able to make her own decisions. Exactly. I'm not going to run home and tell them you got me drunk or anything. All right, fine. Take one, but don't rush it. You're kind of small and don't need you getting messed up on your first beer. Ever beer. She claps happily, grabbing one of the bottles from the table and popping the cap easily. The three of you settle in to watch the classic movie, The Last Man on Earth. Well, that's another one I've got that I haven't really sat and watched yet. The girls on each side of you take great liberty in using you as they clutch your arms and cuddling close to you during the more tense segments of the film. They both seem to enjoy the film, in particular taking interest as it is the first classic film she has seen. As it draws to an end, you stand, stretching and moving out the stiffness in your legs before turning back to them. I'll get you a pillow and blanket. I promise this thing is more comfortable to sleep on than it looks. Thank you. I appreciate it. I'm sure it'll be fine. The bigger problem is Grim snoring. Can't do anything about that, though. For those of you that are worried, The Last Man on Earth is a public domain film now. So, there's no issue with it being played in this. What? I don't snore. What are you talking about? She grins, patting your arm before heading off to the bathroom to prep for bed. You grab the things for Kaylee before prepping for bed yourself. Once everyone is settled and after a brief but pleasant amount of pillow talk between you and Hannah, you fall asleep. You once again find yourself in a world of mist and darkness surrounding you. Oh wow. Remaining perfectly still, you strain both eyes and ears trying to see or hear anything you can. Long moments pass before you finally begin to make her out. She's here again, standing before you. You've returned. I knew you would. I don't know that I had a choice. I'm dreaming. This is just a dream, nothing more. Is it? Are you certain of that? Very. I'm sleeping next to Hannah right now. I just don't understand why I keep dreaming about you, or how I know I'm dreaming. Maybe you should consider that this is real, that I am real. You decide to play along. It's your dream, after all. Might as well have some fun with it, right? Okay, fine, you're real. This place is real. What do you want? I told you before, I need your help. I need you to find me. And how am I supposed to do that? More importantly, why would I do that? I'm trapped between my world and yours. I cannot escape. The book you found, you must destroy it and break the barrier. As for why you should do it, I can offer you great power. Power beyond your imagining, but only if you help me. Oh good, dream power. You gonna give me the power to fly? Invisibility? No, wait, I'll be able to seduce any woman of my dreams, right? She laughs at you before drawing closer. My dear boy, you make jokes, but yes, I can provide you with all those things and so much more. Perhaps I can give you a taste of the power. Then you might consider joining me. Seems like something I should save. Alright, fine. I'll play your game. Give me a taste of your dream power. She laughs again as you begin to hear whispering all around you. You take a step back, looking for the source of the noise. When you look back towards her, she is gone, and the mist fades to darkness. You wake up, eyes snapping open. You're looking at the back of Hannah's head, but more importantly, you feel something holding your cock. Turning your head to look, you see a delicate arm under your blanket, a hand gently stroking up and down. Ah, a good old hand job. Following the arm up to the body, you let out a silent gasp. Kneeling next to your bed, fondling your goods, is Kaylee. Her eyes are closed, her breathing calm. She actually seems to be asleep. Grabbing her arm, you stop her. Slowly moving from the bed, you gently shake her, trying to wake her up. She doesn't stir. Moving her back to the couch, you ease her down. She sighs, sounding more annoyed than content, before silently rolling away from you. You return to the bed, confused, aroused, and concerned. What the fuck was that? Welcome to Chapter 3 of Between Two Worlds. As usual, we have a few things to go over before we get started. Please indulge me. First and foremost, I need to remind you of an important function of how games like this work. There's many images and animations that you may want to take a better look at. In order to hide the text box, you can push H on your keyboard. Or use your middle mouse button. Oh, I didn't know you could do that. Okay. Wow. That's cool. I'll start doing that more often, guys. The only issue is that sometimes if I move it too far forward, it'll skip text. For Android devices, you'll notice that the dev has added a hide option to the quick menu. Yes, you can play this on your phone. In addition, for the Android players, as of this update, the dev has added gesture controls to the game. But don't you fucking dare swipe left on me. Alright, so before we get started, I just wanted to give thanks to my supporters. A special shout out to those who have given exceptional support. THL, Enthar, and Notornus. THL was our very first Alarine tier supporter, and really helped to get it going. Enthar and Notornus are both currently supporting at that level, and as such they will get to help create and name characters in Chapter 4 and beyond. Enthar, I swear to God, if you create another Raskin, you're dead to me. Okay, that's it for the intro. For those of you who did... I liked Raskin! For those of you who didn't skip through this, thank you so much. I hope you enjoy the game! Okay, guys, and that's where we're gonna leave off for now. Stay tuned, guys, on Joystick, because I'm coming back with another game, and it's not a visual novel. Just give me a minute, and we're gonna play about 30 minutes of it. But this is the Grimlord, and I'll see you guys next time on Grimm's Uncanny Valley with more Between Two Worlds. Stay tuned.